listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about... Wait, repartee? Is that a word? Is that what I was supposed to say? The heck is repartee?
Well, another time there, Mr. Announcer Guy. Quick, witty banter.
All right, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Whatever. Hosted by Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
One of these days, our announcer is going to learn what repartee means.
One of these days.
One of these days. I'm thinking Friday he might learn. I'm just making a prediction. Yeah, we're actually going to bring in Mr. Announcer Guy and re-record some of our openings and closings. I think we've done enough branding with the repartee that we can start having a little bit more fun with that, as he might be sharing some thoughts of the day.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to start.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to that. So probably have some new ones of those coming up on Friday. By the way, thanks for everyone attending the Blue State Ball and introducing yourselves to the three hosts of the repartee, myself, Hunter, and Doug. A lot of people were surprised by the way we look. I just wonder how many people thought Doug was like maybe 5'6". And he turns out he's 6'7".
I thought...
He gave me the exact height. I was shocked. I thought he was actually taller than
6'7". Yeah, who's taller, Eric or Doug? And Doug's taller.
Oh, Doug by a mile, yeah.
Well there, it's only like an inch or two, but I didn't know.
Is Eric like 6'4"?
He's 6'5".
He is 6'5", okay.
Yeah, he's tall.
I knew he was well over 6 feet. I didn't know he was 6'5". Yeah, granted, I don't see him that often here, yeah.
I thought yesterday's show on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee was hilarious, where Doug and the callers kept going, I didn't expect you to look that way. I didn't expect you to look that way. I'm like, it's just a radio show going, you didn't look how I thought you looked on the radio.
You and Doug probably get that, especially with him being 6'7" and you with the hair.
Yeah, I know people didn't think I had long hair and mustache.
I wonder how many people picture you as being like a clean cut guy.
That's what that's what people are saying. I'm like, what did I do to lead you to believe that?
Yeah. Maybe with kind of that, I don't know, the younger sounding voice, they were picturing you as, yeah, looking like that DC staffer when you look nothing like that at all.
I'm a young Republican with a pocket protector and a bow tie.
In other words, kind of like what I look like today. I could pull that off. I could be a young Republican staffer today. Well, maybe not so much on the young part. But, yeah, there you go. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Having another Blue State Ball, of course, next year, probably around this time. And I'm thinking we're going to get a lot more political guests next year, especially if a certain number of candidates are still in the presidential race, because if I'm looking at this right, the timing of the Blue State Ball is probably going to coincide with Super Tuesday, which, of course, Minnesota is part of. So I'd love that, to get some presidential candidates in there.
Let's get all 15 of them there.
Oh, I'd love that. I'll get all 15. I don't know if Kirsten Gillibrand would get that warm of a reception, though.
Oh, no.
She's the one that I don't think would be well received by the AM 950 crowd.
No.
Apologies if you are a Gillibrand fan. I don't know if we have that many here on our station. But
I haven't met one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think you'll offend anyone.
Yeah, I think there's still some very hard feelings between her and Al Franken. In fact, we're going to sort of address that a little bit later on in the program, because I want to read part of this article a little bit later on from what's his face here? I got to pull it up here. It's from Charles Pierce of Esquire, talking about how Democrats keep trying to basically worry about – they're trying to get Republicans – they need to stop worrying about Republicans, what they're going to call Democrats. When I get into the article, I'll get into more detail. But I think you kind of know what I'm talking about, where we always put through these types of things, like how we want Al Franken to resign so we look good morally, even though Republicans are still going to say Democrats are immoral. So along those lines, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But before we get into that, I just want to briefly touch on this Ilhan Omar situation. I know Matt covered it extensively during his show, so I'm only going to spend a few minutes on this and share my thoughts. Although if you want to call and talk more about that, we can certainly go a lot longer on that topic. It's up to you. Give us a call, 952-946-6205. So the background on Ilhan Omar is that over the past few months, she's been getting a lot of flack for being anti-Semitic, or sending out anti-Semitic comments, according to a lot of people of Jewish faith and other people in general. So last month, Omar ignited a bipartisan uproar when she suggested on Twitter that members of Congress are paid by the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, which is also abbreviated as AIPAC, and is a nonprofit organization that works to influence U.S. policy. She apologized for her remark, but Trump called her apology lame and said she should resign for Congress and at least not be able to serve on any committee. So we'll, of course, get to the richness of the hypocrisy there in just a moment. Then, of course, she also recently ran into some controversy when she said, I should not be expected to have allegiance or pledge support to a foreign country in order to serve my country in Congress or serve on a committee. So what's interesting about this, and Matt touched on this during his show, during the 3 p.m. hour, is the hypocrisy of this from the Republicans. Because if you're a Republican and you're going to be mad about Ilhan Omar's comments, and some of the anger is certainly justified at her, you should be equally as angry at a number of Republicans that have had similar anti-Semitic comments or also racist comments. So let's go to Zach Ford of Think Progress. Here's what he wrote today. Fresh off his fiery display at the Michael Cohen hearing last week, Representative Jim Jordan from Ohio, you know Jim Jordan, he's that crazy Republican from Ohio, big Trump guy. Well, he's under fire for tweeting an anti-Semitic trope at a fellow member of Congress who happens to be Jewish. Responding to Representative Jerry Nadler, who's the chair of the committee that just subpoenaed Donald Trump, he recently announced on Sunday that the House Judiciary Committee, that's Nadler, would seek documents from 60 individuals in Trump's orbit as part of their investigation. Jordan on Twitter accused Nadler of agreeing with California billionaire Tom Steyer that President Donald Trump should be impeached. But here's the key. Jordan spelled Steyer's name with a dollar sign, which is interesting because if you go back to Ilhan Omar's tweet about AIPAC, she also used a dollar sign and said all about the Benjamin. So that's very similar to what Jim Jordan did. And of course, we see nothing in the media, not a whole lot at all, coverage of what Jim Jordan did, spelling Steyer's name with a dollar sign since Steyer is Jewish himself. Others pointed out anti-Semitic tropes, including author Andy Siskind and co-founder of the progressive Jewish organization If Not Now. Now, what's interesting about this organization, If Not Now, which is, again, a progressive Jewish organization, they compiled examples of how the very people criticizing Omar since last month have their own history of racist and specifically anti-Semitic comments. This week, they, of course, added Jordan to their list, but here's some other examples that they found, and Matt touched on some of these, but here's some new ones as well. So, last October, then-House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who right now is the House Minority Leader, he's the top-ranking Republican in the House, had to delete a tweet similarly suggesting Steyer and other prominent Jewish donors were going to buy this election. And here's the key in the tweet that McCarthy made. He spelled buy, B-U-Y, in all caps. Also, last year, Representative Matt Gaetz, this is the same guy who threatened Michael Cohen on Twitter, in case you don't remember, he actually invited a Holocaust denier by the name of Charles Johnson with a long history of racist and anti-Semitic comments as his guest at the State of the Union address. If you want to know some of the history here about Charles Johnson, again, the guy invited to by this Republican Congressman Gaetz, Johnson has helped raise money for Andrew Anglin, who is an infamous neo-Nazi who runs the white supremacist website Daily Stormer, which literally is a magazine for neo-Nazis.
Yeah, he's not the biggest Nazi there is, or like the leader of the modern Nazi movement now.
Yeah, and just to be clear, on the Daily Stormer, it's not a sort of Nazi magazine. No, it literally is a neo-Nazi magazine. And again, this guy, Representative Matt Gaetz, invited a guy who was fundraising on behalf of the Daily Stormer, a neo-Nazi magazine. Not much coverage about this at all, but here we are still going after Ilhan Omar. And by the way, the criticism of her probably is justified. Some other comments I've been reading throughout the national media. Phyllis Bennis of The Nation says, these members of Congress understand that real anti-Semitism, and I think she makes a good point here in the United States, has been rooted in white supremacy since the Ku Klux Klan reemerged in 1915 and added Jews to the African Americans, who have long been the primary target of the KKK. That's the real anti-Semitism we're seeing, the violence of the Charlottesville March by Nazis and the Klan and the Pittsburgh synagogue murders, who were all rooted in white supremacy. So just adding a few more things, Donald Trump on Twitter also was tweeting about Ilhan Omar today. He said Representative Ilhan Omar is again under fire for her terrible comments concerning Israel. I don't do a good Donald Trump impression. So he says it was a dark day for Israel. And he's silent on not only those prior examples I was bringing up with Representative Getz and also Jim Jordan. He's also been silent pretty much on Steve King. You remember Steve King. He is the very racist white supremacist from Iowa. He represents basically portions of Northwest Iowa. I'm ashamed to say when I actually worked in radio in Southwest Iowa, he was my congressman. Oof, that was not fun. He moved out of my district, though, when they did redistricting between 2011 and 2012, but he was actually my rep. That's about the worst rep I've ever had, I think, in terms of all the
people
in
Congress. That's about as bad as you can get.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes Eric Paulson look like Paul Wellstone. That's how bad Steve King is. Now, of course, there's numerous examples of Steve King being very racist. Just some of those include comparing immigrant children to drug mules, comparing immigrants to hunting dogs, also having a Confederate flag on his desk saying uncontrolled immigration could lead to ethnic strife. Do your homework on that. You know Steve King. You can find his comments just by Googling them. But as Matt and I were talking about, just as Matt left the studio, so Steve King has been quoting this person who is a far-right Nazi supporter from Canada. He's tweet-quoted her three times, and as Matt importantly brought up, he tweet-quoted her again after Omar made her comments, which is significant because, again, this hasn't been played at all in the media. Yet here he is again tweeting and quote-tweeting, I should say, someone, this far-right politician. I don't think she's a politician. I think she's just a general commentator from Canada. Tweet quoting her again. So there you go. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you'd like to share your thoughts on Ilhan Omar, just want to point out the hypocrisy, because if you're angry about Omar's comments, then you should be equally, if not more, angered about some of these comments we've seen from Republicans and their actions. 952-946-6205. Talk about some local issues up next, unless you want to talk about Omar. You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Hello, this is Brett's grandmother. You are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Total Dog Company exists for people who are serious about their dogs. People who want the best nutrition and the best gear for their dogs. Total Dog Company's mission is to provide high-quality, practical food and gear for dogs and only dogs. Nothing frou-frou or frivolous. Nothing with suspect ingredients. No cat food or wild bird food. Totally dog, from head to wagging tail. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Vacuum cleaner. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Never heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design in St. Louis Park and host of Drinkin' the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You're listening to AM 950, so I already know that you care about your community, and I'd like to encourage you to demonstrate that commitment by shopping at locally owned businesses like Habitation. Not only do we have some of the most exciting furniture lines in Minnesota, we've selected those manufacturers that offer value and style while doing business the right way. Habitation offers sustainably sourced furnishings from premium suppliers like Phillips Collection, Trika Furniture, and North Carolina-based Lazar Industries. Each offers an array of styles, fabrics, and materials. And Habitation's ASID design team can help you turn your space into an oasis that brings joy and happiness no matter what is going on in the world outside. Won't you give us a chance to earn your business? Stop into Habitation at 4317 Excelsior Boulevard and see how you can make your space exceptional.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and you are listening to the 4 o'clock repartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Repartee, something like that.
Well, thank you very much there, Laura, and you can hear Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. here on AM 950. You know what? We messed up with the Blue State Ball there, Hunter. We meant to get a lot of these bumpers recorded by some of our listeners, and I only got one. I got Mark and Fridley. I don't think you got any of them.
I didn't get any. I mean, I screwed up not recording those speeches, too. Like, it would have been super easy to do that, and I just had so much on my mind I didn't think of it. And then Tom Hartman was offering $100 if you had it recorded.
Oh, there you go. Could have brought in some nice money there.
Yeah, but I just wanted it for myself. But then I saw that, too. I'm like, man, that would have been so easy. What was I thinking?
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I didn't think of that till just the very end. And Mark was the guy I happened to be talking with. I said, hey, Mark, you want to go record a bumper? We did. So we have to call some of our other listeners on the phone and maybe get them to record those. It might even work easier because I think you'll recognize their voices better.
Over the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Like Gary in Minneapolis, I was chatting with him after the repartee yesterday. I think we're going to try to record those tomorrow. He's actually writing them out. So Gary's going to have some well-rehearsed bumpers, I should say.
Nice.
Hey, you were mentioning, too, recording speeches. Since I've had this question asked a few times, either on social media or at our email, comment at am950radio.com asking, hey, can I have those recorded speeches of Tom Hartman or John Fugelsang or the politicals? Did you record those? And if so, can I get those recordings? The answer is no. And generally, it's because we don't want to record speeches, especially when there's politicians involved, just because, well, justifiably, it gets them kind of nervous because if you post those online, what they say can very easily be misinterpreted and cut up and taken out of context by Republican operatives. So that's the reason why we generally don't record those speeches at the Blue State Ball. Although maybe next year we could change that and record some of the non-political speakers like a Tom Hartman or a John Fugelsang. So to answer your question, if you were wondering about that, that is the reason why we did not record any of those speeches. But who knows, maybe we could change that policy coming up next year. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you want to talk about any local issues or the Ilhan Omar controversy, again, talked about that during the last segment. Going to move on to some other local topics, unless, of course, you'd like to talk about the Ilhan Omar controversy. In the meantime, though, while Hunter's doing yeoman's work in there answering those telephones, I want to read something that was actually written by Tim Penny. Do you remember Tim Penny? He's a former congressman and was the 2002 Independence Party candidate for governor. He recently wrote a piece along with Charlie Weaver on the Central for Rural Policy and Development website, ruralmn.org. And I just want to read an excerpt of this and then share some thoughts on DFL strategy when it comes to reaching out towards rural voters. So here's what Penny wrote on, again, ruralmn.org. He wrote, "Much has been made about the economic, cultural, and political divides between Greater Minnesota and the Twin Cities Metro. In some aspects, the urban-rural split is undeniable. Everything from demographics and economic conditions to culture differences from the metro area to Greater Minnesota. The rural-metro divide is often magnified at the state capital, where GOP legislative gains in 2014 and 16 all but eliminated the DFL's footprint in Greater Minnesota, but the DFL wins in the Twin Cities suburbs in 2018, flipped control of the Minnesota House, adding geographic polarization to already a huge political polarization that we have in Minnesota. Recent sessions have seen rural and urban legislators pitted against each other on everything from vegetation buffers to transportation funding, and the result is that many in Greater Minnesota feel like they have been left behind. These dynamics obscure a fundamental truth that Greater Minnesota and the Twin Cities Metro are both integral to our state's identity and a critical part of Minnesota's current and future success." And that's what he highlights in this piece that he wrote, again, for ruralmn.org, is that it's both greater Minnesota and the Twin Cities that really make the state actually run, and that dividing between rural and urban Minnesota isn't going to get us anywhere. And I think that message should mostly be directed, I hate to say it, at Republicans, because if you look at the campaigns of the past 3-4 election cycles, most of what Republicans campaign on in the state legislature is, well, we can't let people in St. Paul and Minneapolis and the metro area dictate our lives. What's interesting when you look at the DFL campaign material for the past 3 or 4 election cycles, you never hear any messages about how, oh, we can't let people in rural Minnesota dictate our lives. I don't know about you, Hunter. I've never heard that message from a DFLer saying that we shouldn't let people from rural Minnesota dictate our government.
No.
No, not at all. So the question is, if you're the DFL, you're making outreach to rural voters through a lot of your legislative agenda. We're going to get to that question in just a second. Just look at some of the things that they've proposed during this legislative session. They, of course, want to expand rural broadband, which is long overdue in the state of Minnesota. You look at some students in rural Minnesota have to drive to like a McDonald's or a library just to do their homework to get Wi-Fi because they don't have modern broadband in parts of rural Minnesota. Also, Tim Walz wants to expand statewide school funding to eliminate the need for referendums, which usually fail in rural districts. In fact, Fred Nolan, who's the executive director of the Minnesota Rural Education Association, has just a shocking stat going back to the 2018 election cycle and school referendums. Every school referendum that was proposed in a metro area school district passed. Meanwhile, in rural Minnesota, the passage rate was just 42%. So you would think trying to increase statewide funding for schools would be something that would appeal to rural voters, because right now they're getting less money under the current system with referendums, since usually their local referendums fail. Looking at some other ways where Democrats have been trying to increase their reach to greater Minnesota, they want to help out with rural childcare workers where there's a massive shortage. Also, transportation funding, with Governor Walz proposing a 20-cent gas tax increase, is also huge, since if you look at roads, especially in rural Minnesota, they're a disaster, to take a word from Donald Trump. They're a disaster. Again, I don't do impressions of Donald Trump. Do you do impressions of Donald Trump in there, Hunter?
No, just Alex Jones.
Just that wasn't Alex Jones on our bumper? That we occasionally...
No, that was him.
Oh, that
but
was
I
him.
Can also
okay.
do it.
Oh, you got me sidetracked right there. But going back to what I was talking about is that if you look at what the DFL has proposed this legislative session, they're designed to appeal to a lot of rural voters. But the question is it going to work? And so far as we've seen, it looks like no, because going back to that special election we saw in Senate District 11, a Republican was able to capture a seat that Democrats had held for well over 25 years. So Democrats need to figure out a way to reach rural. I don't know if they necessarily need to do this through legislation. I think it almost comes down to having a better selection of candidates, because I want to just take a brief look here at this Senate District 11 election and can kind of compare it to what we saw in the congressional districts in the 1st and also the 8th. So if you remember back to that Senate District 11 special election, we had Republican Jason Rarick defeat DFLer Stu Lowry. Now, Stu Lowry was criticized for not living in the district his entire life, working in D.C. And this is a similar criticism that's been leveled at both Republicans and Democrats that have run in rural districts, whether it's at the federal or the state level. Let's look at some recent examples. In CD8, Joe Radinovich was accused of being a D.C. Minneapolis person. He was the DFL nominee for CD8. In 2014 and 2016, Stuart Mills also was kind of running into this as well. He was the Republican nominee in those districts, and he lost to Rick Nolan, who largely was a lifer in the area. About 2012, remember Chip Kravach? He was the guy, that Republican representative in CD8, that pulled that huge upset in 2010 when he knocked off Oberstar. He, of course, lost as soon as he and his family moved to New Hampshire, and he was going to try to do the commute thing. Didn't really fly. So I think there's something there in candidate selection that the DFL might want to look at, and the fact that they should nominate people who maybe are lifers and have lived in a small town and in the district their entire life, because I feel like there's a perception where if you move out of a small town and go work somewhere else, then try to come back, you kind of lose your cred, so to speak, as being that small town, very local person. So I think it might be something beyond just trying to appeal to rural voters issue by issue, and maybe something with candidate selection. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We're going to move back to that Ilhan Omar conversation because we got full phone lines on that topic. We're going to get to a few of these before we take our commercial break. Let's start things off with Bill in St. Paul. He wants to talk about Ilhan Omar. Hi there, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I love your show. I think I'm an Ilhan supporter. I know she supports the Palestinians, but I'm retired. My whole life I've been hearing this stuff that Israel's been spewing out about. But it's tantamount to the least little thing you say about them, that automatically makes you anti-Semitic, and that's ridiculous. And one thing I don't think people realize, and I'm fairly sure I'm correct on this, is that the Palestinians as well are a Semitic people. So where does Israel get off thinking they have some kind of franchise on being the only Semitic people around, too? Plus, just to throw in, I want 2 decades ago or more, I heard Tim Penny speak, and he said, he was what he called from the Valley of the Jolly Green Giant, his constituents. And he said he was the first Democrat elected in there since 1894. And I think he had since gone independent, but that time he was a Democrat. And he,
right.
But that's what the Democrats need to learn, is in those rural areas, how to get those votes that the Republicans always seem to win. And I'll take my whatever response off the air. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show. Bye now.
Hey, thanks so much for the call there, Bill. Yeah, I'm not an expert on Israeli-Palestinian issues and whether which group is what, so I'm certainly not the person to answer that question. If you're more an expert on that, feel free to give us a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Does bring up a good point as well that Tim Penny also used to be a Democrat and represented the 1st District as well. Let's go on to Kathy in Minneapolis. Hey there, Kathy.
I was calling about the response to Ilhan Omar.
Mm-hmm.
I voted for the woman here in Minnesota, and I really feel that the major part, let's say maybe 30% of the reaction is to what she said, but the major part, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, is because she's a woman, because she wears a hijab, and because she's a Muslim. I think mm-hmm. these guys, I really believe these guys in Congress see a smallish brown woman with a hijab on, and the hackles go up.
I think you're absolutely right, because going back to the examples I was talking about earlier in the show where we have Republicans doing the exact same thing, or sometimes to an even more extensive angle. I mean, just going back to Getz, he invited as his guest to the State of the Union a guy who was fundraising for the Daily Stormer, which is literally a Nazi newspaper. So I think you're certainly onto something there, Kathy, with the fact that she's a Muslim, also brown-skinned, and wears a hijab. I think it does make her a much easier target. 952-946-6205. We'll continue with your phone calls if you want to talk about Ilhan Omar. Otherwise, we'll move on to some other local topics as well. You are listening to The Repartee on AM 950.
Be an info warrior and ignore everything these Soros puppets say. Hunter, Doug, and Brett spread Obama, globalist, Antifa propaganda. Ignore everything you hear on the Minnesota Progressive Liberty.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
This is Matt, owner of Green Home Doctors. The cold, bitter winter is here, and it's imperative to have your home properly insulated. 40% of our carbon dioxide emissions come from buildings. With today's political environment in Washington, individuals feel out of control in making positive impacts on the environment. Now's the time for us to become empowered by making changes in our personal lives. Call today and take advantage of rebates from CenterPoint and Xcel Energy. To learn more about the savings, visit greenhomedr.com.
Hey humans, this is me, Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Ta-da! I'm putting on another Gray Area Thinking Human Inclusivity Training, and I want you to come. It will be at Open Book on Washington Avenue in Minneapolis on Saturday, March 16th from noon to 2 p.m. You can learn more or buy tickets by Googling Eventbrite Gray Area Thinking or by going to the Human is Human page on my website at elliekrug.com. Again, this is on Saturday, March 16th. See you there!
Stress. It's something you experience every day, and something you can use a whole lot less of. Stress can not only make you feel frustrated and irritable, it can also cause aches, pains, and fatigue. The Biomat at Awakened Living can make you feel better. The Biomat is a medical-grade, infrared, full-body heating mat used in healing practices all over the world. The Biomat at Awakened Living heats your body through infrared rays, which raises the internal temperature of your body, acting much like when your body has a fever, to rid your body of viruses and bacteria. It is a wonderful tool to use for relaxation and as a preventative method for achieving optimal health. The Awakened Living Biomat offers a deep relaxation effect, and as you step away from a treatment, you feel relaxed, calm, and ready to enjoy a more stress-free body. Schedule an appointment today by calling 952-452-8583. And once again, that number is 952-452-8583. Or by visiting AwakenedLivingInfusion.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I speak nationally and internationally on the subjects of entrepreneurship, trades reform, apprenticeship, craftsmanship, and coding science. I've created a rigorous apprenticeship program where I find, train, inspire, and mentor young people in my craft. The result is an ultra-professional crew of craftspeople that cares about their work and your project. We're not like other contractors. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavik.com to learn more.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Tonight, mostly cloudy with low around 2. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 19. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 20. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is It's Greek to Me. This Saturday night, March 9th, from 8 to 10 p.m., DJ Jim from New York will be at It's Greek to Me. Enjoy modern Greek music and perhaps some dancing. Located at 626 West Lake Street in Minneapolis. Find out more at It'sGreekToMeMN.com.
This is Nick Schrock with Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration, and I'm painting at AM 950 today, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
And they just finished painting the other day. You also heard that ad for Nick Slavik Painting, giving our station a much brighter look. We had some outdated paint on the walls that desperately needed some redoing, and we have some nice bright colors. The folks over at Nick Slavik Painting, great job painting the station. It just feels overall kind of happier here, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. We're out of the 70s finally in this station.
Yeah. There you go. This is an old building as well. I think it's been around since the 50s or 60s, yeah. But they did a great job at Nick Slavik Painting. Check them out as well. He has a unique way he trains his painters as well. As he says in the ad, very different than other contractors. So, more local news before we get back to your phone calls today. Governor Tim Walz signed his first law since taking office at a ceremony earlier, including a measure that provides money for the state's troubled vehicle registration system, as well as a new independent review of the problems with MNLARS. The new law authorizes $13 million in state funds for technology improvements, maintenance, and consumer service support for the Minnesota License and Registration System. It also directs a task force to issue recommendations for how to move forward with the system by May 1st. Now, Hunter, if I remember right, let me know if you're wrong. I believe you've also run into some issues with MNLARS and trying to get your license renewed. As you laugh, yeah, most certainly.
Yeah, so many. I don't even know which one to bring up.
Yeah. Well, maybe another show you can get into that. But, yeah, you've had your own battles with the Department of registering your vehicle. So hopefully this $13 million and this independent review will solve some of those problems. My birthday's coming up in May, and I'm going to be in that same boat of having to get stuff renewed. So hopefully things are solved by then. You can take all the problems. Hopefully it'll be nice and smooth by the time I have to renew my tabs, my license plate, my driver's license. Also, Tim Walz signed a measure for $98 million in state-backed borrowing to fund a variety of projects, including highway rehab, which includes Highway 14, Southern Minnesota, and Highway 23, which runs from southwest to northeast Minnesota. By the way, specifically to rural highways, should appeal to rural voters, you would think. He also directed funding for regional parks and the cleanup of a toxic site that was closed as a landfill in Andover earlier this year. So just quickly going back to this rural-urban thing, I talk about this occasionally on the show. Again, you would think Tim Walz and the DFL legislature approve funding for Highway 14 and Highway 23, two rural highways that desperately are in need of that work. But I think, going back to what I was talking about earlier, there's something deeper there when it comes to trying to win back rural districts, where I think it's more along the lines of candidate selection than actual policy. Because if you're a trustworthy in a rural area, I think you have a better chance of winning. I think that's the biggest quality a lot of people sometimes look for in rural areas. I lived in a small Iowa town as well, and being an outsider there, I wasn't always necessarily trusted. I was the big Minnesota guy from Minneapolis, St. Paul, where if you're a lifer who lives in a small town your entire life, I don't think your political beliefs matter as much than the fact that you're a trusted person that you know is being someone's neighbor down the street that you go to church with, that you go shopping with. So I think it's candidate selection rather than trying to appeal to rural voters along ideological lines and trying to pass legislation. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, we got, well, our only listener that recorded a bumper at the Blue State Ball. That's Mark in Fridley. Hey there, Mark. How you doing?
Hey, guys. And I want to thank everybody for coming out and supporting the station. I also want to thank It's Greek to Me because of the lamb chops and chicken satay.
Oh, those are delicious. I'm not a lamb chop fan. I'm not a lamb chop fan myself, by the way, but Jennifer made me try them, and wow, those are delicious. That's like eating a steak.
How many did you put in your pocket?
I'm not going to admit to anything on the radio.
And the last time I was in your offices, I would say the paint color was black mold. So congratulations.
Zing.
Yeah, I like that. Yes.
Okay, here's what we need to do. We need to praise people when they're doing the right thing, as well as hold them accountable when they're not doing the right thing. You know, if a politician did the things they did on the campaign promise, we wouldn't have these problems. And Ilhan Omar right now is stepping up to power, I understand, completely. Because in 2002 and 2003, I was sued by the board of director of APEC, a guy by the name of Norm Brownstein out of Denver, Colorado. He's got a massive law lobby firm in D.C. And out of Denver, and a bunch of affiliates located in primarily Las Vegas, Reno, Carson City, and Atlantic City. That's as close as I'll get to that for now. But this guy was Norm Brownstein, was referred to by Ted Kennedy, who has been dead for 15 years, as America's 101st senator. Would that have made Ted Kennedy an anti-Semite? And like John Fugelsang said, Jesus Christ was a Palestinian. He was a Semite. A Semite, by definition, is somebody of Arab or Middle Eastern descent. So the vast majority of people, if you did a DNA test of the people that live in Israel, come from Eastern Europe. And they're not descendants, or they didn't, you know, weren't raised as a Semite. So that term, but, you know, that's semantics. But what the Republicans are telling us right now is that free speech and freedom of thought cannot be tolerated. She did not make an anti-Semitic comment, nor did she make a comment that was unsupported by fact. Basically, she was referring to money and power and lobbyists controlling politicians in Washington, D.C. And APEC just happens to be the biggest Israeli lobbying organization, and also happens to be one of the biggest lobbying organizations in Washington, D.C. So she's being attacked from both sides. You can tell a person's character by the people that are their enemies. And if we want to start talking about this and what the role of foreign influence is, and I will let you know now this, you know, I told you a long time ago that Russiagate is going to be a dry hole. There's going to be a minimal, you have information that's provided by Mueller. But if we want to talk about foreign influence, why aren't we talking about Jared Kushner right now and violations of things like the Foreign Agent Registration Act? But we can get into that if you want at a later time. But I've been under attack by these people for more than a decade. And Mark Dayton knew it, and Al Franken knew it. Amy Klobuchar knew it in 2006. She didn't do anything. Mark Dayton did something on my behalf. He investigated it, and he was forced to vacate his role as a senator after a single term. And we, you know, people know what happened to Al Franken, but they don't know the real reason what happened to Al Franken. And the real reason Al Franken was forced to vacate his seat is because a week before those pictures suddenly came out of nowhere, he made a speech at the Open Market Institute, and anybody can look this up, where he finally came out and spoke truth to power and said that big technology is the biggest threat to American liberty, freedom, constitutional protections. And a week later to the day, those pictures came out.
That is interesting. Hey, Mark, I just got full phone line, so I want to make sure everyone gets a chance to get on in here before the end of the show. And, yeah, that is interesting timing going back to the Franken resignation. Also want to address another thing he was talking about with people who are criticizing Omar. There is one person who actually has come out as an ally of Ilhan Omar. That's AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She tweeted today, "No one seeks this level of reprimand when members make statements about Latinx and other communities." A really good point from AOC that she brought up on Twitter. So it sounds like she won't be behind this resolution that's going to condemn Omar, which looks like it will be up Wednesday in the House of Representatives. Let's go to Linda in Carver wants to talk about Omar. Hi there, Linda.
Well, it's actually Brenda.
Oh, Brenda, my mistake, yeah.
Mark is a hard act to follow, man. He really has his information all pulled together. But I just want to say that Ilhan Omar, again, she never said anything wrong. She was speaking truth to power, and they can't handle it. I mean, it comes right down to, why are we not chastising Israel over stealing Palestinian land? They're ignoring this stuff, and it's horrible. Why does one be favored over the other? I mean, I always back Jimmy Carter because he was trying to be fair and that with the Palestinians, which is something that I do not see happening in our government today.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue, and thanks so much for the call there, Brenda in Carver. It is a discussion because a lot of people miss that Palestinian perspective when it comes to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and who gets what land. Yeah, people do really miss that perspective a lot. Let's go to one more phone call before the break. We've got Penny in Minneapolis. Hi there, Penny.
Hi. I back both your previous callers. I mean, to me, Netanyahu is so corrupt. Unfortunately, he's probably going to get reelected, even though he's got a lot of charges against him right now. I totally
just before
agree
you move
that,
on,
Brenda,
is he even allowed to run for re-election again?
Yes.
He is, okay.
He's on the brink of it, but he's got a lot of charges against him. Okay. But who knows what will happen. It's kind of like Trump. But that two-state solution that Jimmy Carter backed is fantastic, doesn't seem to have happened. And really, what good is all this lobbying for Israel? They have so much money. What is the need? What are they doing with it? We should look at the motivation of that lobby group, like your previous caller said. And I don't think that Omar said one thing anti-Semitic. I really don't. And I wish Matt McNeil and some of our 950 hosts would understand that instead of just going along with the crowd condemning her.
All right. Thanks for the call there, Penny. Go ahead there, Hunter.
I don't think Matt really did condemn her. And one thing I want to note that – so I'm hearing people say they should be back the two-state solution. But why this is difficult is Palestine doesn't back the two-state solution. Israel doesn't back this two-state solution. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yes, that would work great, but neither of the parties want that.
It's very complicated as well because I was saying as well, I think – especially here in this country and either in a lot of places that are, you know, so-called Western countries, kind of miss that Palestinian perspective. Again, not being anti-Israel or anything, but you do have to look at the perspective of both sides. And as you said there, Hunter, as well, both sides also don't want that two-state solution. Very complicated. I'm not an expert on Israeli-Palestinian relations. So 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Maybe have Jack Rice on at some point. He is a lot more knowledgeable in that area and also in foreign policy. We'll continue taking your calls or also talk about some more local issues, including marijuana legalization, making its way through the Minnesota legislature here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, humans. This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio, and you are listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Buy appliances at or even below cost during Warner Stellings Real Deal Clearance Sale. 3 days, Saturday through Monday. Choose from hundreds of floor models and closeouts, all marked with a big yellow tag. Warner Stellion has unbeatable special buys on top-rated laundry pairs, French door refrigerators, four-piece kitchen suites, and more. And you still get trusted fast free delivery and haulaway and 18 months interest-free financing. Yellow tagged appliances below cost and unmatched savings on special buys. Saturday through Monday at all 10 Warner Stellion stores.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years, so if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-647-1579. 1-800-647-1579. That's 1-800-647-1579.
Hi, Minnesota. It's Tom Hartman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
And thank you very much to Tom Hartman for attending the Blue State Ball. As we were talking about yesterday on the show, I got the feeling that he didn't plan that speech at all. He kind of called an audible after Trump spoke at CPAC and kind of did that on the fly. And man, that was a powerful speech, saying that Trump is neither a criminal nor a politician. He's a cult leader, and I think he's exactly right. I wish we would have gotten that recorded, but as we talked about, we typically don't record speeches just because some of the politicians, it's more for their protection. But yeah, maybe next year we can record some of the non-political speakers like a Tom Hartman or a John Fugelsang or whoever else we invite. But you would agree, Hunter, that was an incredible speech Tom Hartman gave with the ball.
Absolutely. I know. I only wish I recorded it for my own sake.
Oh, yeah, you want that $100. No, I'm just giving you
that's
a
cherry on top.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, we got another caller on the line. Let's go to Ishmael from Dakota County. He wants to talk about Ilhan Omar. Hi there, Ishmael.
Hey, Matt. I was speaking with you. I've been listening to you guys for a while. I mean, for a long time, and I really appreciate it. And I just talk about, I think, you know, that I was saying that all these issues about Ilhan Omar is just fabrication about from the right, you know, because she just walked into this. And the reason they're just doing this is because she put all this into the light, and they don't want this happening. So it's just they're using her, you know, belief based on who she is, because she's a Muslim, that toward that is why she's racist. And she's not. She just tells the American people that what she walked into, what she saw it, and what's happening. And based on that, these people are just saying that, you know, she's a racist. She don't like these people. This is what she's doing. She's not. I mean, there's a lot of things she just learned into it and know it, and she want to share it with American people. But they don't want that. And that's why they just don't want her in there. And they want her to walk away from this. And they want, you know, the Democrat to, you know, to tell her to resign from this position, which I think, you know, they're doing it wrong, because I think if they walk her, I mean, if she get out, there's a lot of things that she say, but, I, you know, in a way, I think she's right. I mean, when you look, all this stuff is just right. Something happened. There's a lot of people that from the right who say bad things about Muslims, mm-hmm. especially even Trump, you know, and nobody even told him or even condemning him to walk away or just to resign. But Ilhan Omar just say, what is there and what's happening to our political? And she just want to share with us, but she's a racist. So I think they are doing bad if they tell her to resign. And I think she was right, and she's not racist. You know, that's all I'm thinking, you know, what's happening. And she's right with this, you know, what's happening.
All right, Ishmael, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for listening and calling for the first time. I think he's on to something as well, and this was a point that I think, can't remember if it was Brenda or maybe our previous caller before her was talking about, the fact that she is a Muslim, she's brown skin, she wears a hijab. It does make her an easy target to go after as compared to, again, we were talking about examples of some of these white Republicans who made similar comments or in some cases have done even worse things than Ilhan Omar has been accused of, and there's been no condemnation and very little news coverage at all. Got just one more minute left in the show. Hey, thanks for calling, Tom. Just want to make sure we get to this last story before we wrap up the show. Try calling tomorrow here on the Repartee. So DFL State Representatives Carlos Mariani and Rena Moran rolled out their responsible on cannabis bills in a press conference today at 11:30. Unfortunately, not finding a lot of news coverage about this, but an old group has made a reappearance that has come out against cannabis, the Minnesota Family Council and the Parents Action League. Do you remember those groups at all, Hunter? The Parents Action League was that anti-LGBT group that really had a lot of influence in the Anoka School District. Apparently they're back, as they're sending out an email campaign to go against recreational marijuana. They say that, well, you let your legislators know that recreational marijuana is dangerous for Minnesota. I thought the Minnesota Family Council and the Parents Action League had went away over the past few years, but apparently they're still around. They've moved on from harassing LGBTQ and minority students to now, I guess, going out against recreational marijuana. Group's got to find something, I guess. That's all the time we have for today on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Doug's in tomorrow to host the show.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.